Good evening, Dr. Sanchez.
Good evening.
I will be asking you a few questions today. To begin, for the recording, my name is Nicholas Ajani Davis, and I am interviewing Superintendent Dr. Sanchez through Zoom on August 3rd, 2022. Do I have your permission to record and make public this oral history?
Yes.
All right. And as a reminder, you do not have to answer any questions that make you feel uncomfortable.
Okay.
So for some, just to get some of the information out the way, can you please state your name, age, occupation, where you come from, place of birth, and your ethnic identity?
Well, that's a lot. So my name is Dr. Raymond Sanchez. I'm 49 years old. I am currently the superintendent of schools in the Ossining School District. I am Hispanic or Latino. More specifically, I am Cuban. That's where most of my family has come from, both my parents, my mom, and my dad. What were some of the other pieces? Anything I'm missing there?
No, that was all. I can move on to the next question. So the first major question, when you brought MBK to Ossining, how did you think it would impact the community?
You know what? Ossining is a unique place, and so I always, you know, I think it's really important to understand history and where things have been to understand where they're going sometimes, or helps inform the future. So years ago, Ossining School District had a program called Project Earthquake, which was led by a gentleman by the name of Dr. Martin McDonald. And that was based on a goal that the district had initiated that clearly outlined and made very explicit that we were going to focus on the education of Black males, because that's what our data shared. So every action plan at a building level had to create one. But going back, we created what the program called Project Earthquake, which in so many ways was MBK before MBK came forward. It was about working with our young men, motivating our young men, guiding our young men, giving them various experiences, and helping them see the leader in each of them. And that program just it blew up, to be honest with you. So when MBK came and there was the opportunity, first of all, the needs are still there, even though the program had existed years ago. And the needs of our young men are, you know, not exactly mirror that of national norms and measures, but, you know, it's areas where we know we need growth. And so I believed in the structure. I believe in the pillars, because it's not all about just young men at the high school or middle school, but it's really different stages throughout. And I knew this community and approaching it with the board would be very supportive. So the why strong, it's just a matter of, you know, what are the technical things that we needed to do to uplift. And I didn't get a lot of, quite honestly, went to become an MBA community. It was like, what do I need to sign? And I think sometimes that's unique about Ossining, and I'm very fortunate because of that.
Thank you for your response. And as another question to ask, sort of obstacles or struggles did you encounter when you wanted to implement MBK?
To be honest with you, it wasn't so much, like I said before, it wasn't about the why and why we were doing it. It was more about what we were going to do and how we were going to do it. And there were already existing groups that worked with our young men. So to what extent were they willing to adapt a little bit, you know, the ways they've done things, because we've always done it a certain way. And just this other aspect that it wasn't another thing that we had to do. I knew that it could be viewed as another initiative on a list of initiatives. And so I needed to help individuals understand that this is at the core of what we do. And it's not a nice to do, it's a have to do, morally. So those are some of the hurdles. You know, it's a lot of coordination. Everyone wants to own a piece of it. Everyone has strong feelings. And they all need to be validated, but eventually you got to bring it to a point where it says, this is what we're going to do. And this is manageable and meaningful for all of us. I think I'm doing pretty good.
These are going by real smoothly. So for the next question, how did the pandemic have an impact on your local MBK chapter?
I mean, it disrupted everything, as you know, just our lives, our schools, and others. More than anything else, it's that level of personal touch that, you know, is, granted, Zoom provided us some space. And actually, I think we probably weren't using Zoom as often as maybe we could have been using it, so that more people could be connected to the MBK effort. So I think there's something we learned from it. But in the moment, I think, you know, there's something about bringing our young men together in a room and talking, right? There's something about bringing them to, you know, to local universities and, you know, all those type of enriching opportunities. They were kind of lost in the midst of the pandemic. And so I can't say that the young men didn't feel connections to the work, but I think it could have been stronger. That's all. And it wasn't a fault of effort. It was just, we were in COVID, you know, in this pandemic. And so everyone tried their best, but we knew it wasn't as strong as it was when we had the opportunity to be face to face.
Prior and after the pandemic, what would you say was either the best or your most proudest moment when it came to MBK and like having the students involved?
What's the proudest moment? Is that what you're basically? I'll take this, I think you're one of my proudest moments. I just need to say it out loud, right? Individuals like you, that when you go to the state and you represent us, that makes me extremely proud. And that you're called upon, like your name is out there. I'm just going to use yours as you took advantage of the opportunity that was presented to you. And I'm just thankful that you're part of Awesome, right? Because you could have been living in any community, right? But you were awesome, and you represented our community with great pride. And that, you know, as you know, we have awesome pride, and that's part of it. So I would say individuals like yourself and others that represent us in various spaces and are called upon. Patrick St. Ange is sometimes, I just think of a name, but there are many like yourself and him that, you know, he was called to speak at one of the conferences. Like, you know, here's little old Austin, and our younger men are leaders in the state. And that to me is really, but so that's on the like broader scale, the larger scale. But then there's these small moments that are just as important, right? It's not always about the press release, where you talk to a child and or a family member, and they tell you what a difference, where I didn't think maybe we were making as much of a difference. But yet when you talk to them, they're like, how much they love meeting, how much an experience we provided them impacted their lives, the energy that parents feel and how much they want that for their child as well. Those moments make me smile and make me leave a room like with, because those are the ones that don't hit the papers, right? But those little moments can change the lives of a child and or a young man. And so those are moments of pride as well for me. The last one I would say is just our numbers. Like we started with a group of, I think like, I want to say it was like 30 at the high school at one point, maybe less. And we have like 100 plus kids now. So there's a movement going on, right? And that makes me really proud because I'm like, man, are we doing it? And yeah, we are. And it's still not perfect, right? But what I learned is that even within imperfection, there is perfection, I guess, in some ways, right? There's people that, as long as it's having a positive impact on our students, then, you know, I got to let the pedal off the metal a little bit just to, you know, to give us some grace to say, we're doing okay, right? We're doing okay. So I guess I give you a few there.
When it comes to MBK, how would you say that it has given opportunities to the boys of color in our community compared to the struggles that they may have faced with, like, if they didn't have this program for the Brotherhood? So just like, how would you say it has with MBK been productive?
Yeah. I mean, I should probably pose that question of you, but I think my quick response is that I've been humbled by the need of our students for space to come together. In this case, our Black and Latino males, to hear from our MBK, you know, leaders and from each other. And that space wasn't formatted in a way, right, before. And there's a sense of family and community that I hope is being created through MBK as well, that we're there for each other. And that we're part of, you know, arguably a small fraternity, right? That we're coming together and these three letters represent something to all of us. And I don't think that was all that, if it wasn't there, it wasn't formatted in the way that it is now. And I think it's, we've been able to provide our young scholars opportunities, you know, whether it's, and I've been humbled again each time. It's like, I didn't think it was going to have an experience, but it did. You know, we did, we took I remember a young man who took a college tour. He went to NYU. He made with David Kirkland over in NYU. And he came back and he's like, I want to go to NYU. He's like, but I can't afford it. And that just opened up a door for us to have a dialogue of how he can, right? And I don't think that space was there in the past like it is now, so that we can coach in ways that maybe we haven't for our students. And I think lastly is just an understanding that our community is in on it too. Right? They want to be supportive and they want to be helpful and they want to contribute. And they were there before always supporting, but now give them a direct space, like, you know, a little bit more targeted than, you know, here and there and everywhere.
I can definitely agree from the students' perspective that we definitely had a lot of opportunities, whether we got to go on different college trips or when we got to be a part of, like, a different program, like the genealogy program, find our backgrounds. But it has definitely given us a lot of different things to do, and it definitely has made us more tight knit with each other. So I definitely agree with your standpoint on the program. Yeah. For MBK, not just in our community but overall, how do you think MBK can have a bigger impact?
That's a great question. I mean, I think we need to, I use the word grace. Like, I think we just still need to give us some grace because there's a level of urgency and we want to move fast, but to grow something and to create a movement, you got to give yourself some time. So there's a little bit of a touch and go on MBK. I think we need to get better. We need to continue finding spaces to help learn from each other as a community of learners, right? Not, and sometimes that happens through the conference, but maybe there are other spaces where we can bring MBK leaders to talk about just what they're doing because and what's working. And that could just be a Zoom session, quite honestly. Those are just things that, you know, like you just need to bring an affinity group of people that are doing the same thing together and just saying, give me your syllabus and be willing to share. Because in the end, you know, yeah, I, like in my case, I serve Austin, but I care and don't care, meaning that I care about the community I serve, but I don't care enough. I don't care in such a way that I won't share for the betterment of the whole. And sometimes we think of things as territories, and this is not a territorial movement, right? This is about what's good for all. So I think that's maybe a space. And finding other ways to bring inroad and funding to help support the work. You know, the state legislators and others have been very, very supportive. One of the few in the country that support it through legislation and in their state budget. But maybe there's private industry, maybe there's others that, you know, see the same means to do that, to help us in different ways. Because, you know, the cause is good. The data shows it works. You know, we just need to, people should invest in what works. And MBK is just that. Yeah. And, the last piece I would say is I think one of the areas we need to think about more, and it's a tricky thing for Austin as well, is within our segment of our Latino males, there are Latino males that have been here for some period of time, and there are new immigrant Latino males. And so they sometimes don't see themselves in the larger MBK group, right? Because they're still learning language, they're still learning culture, they're still a little bit. So what's the acculturation group for them so that they can eventually make inroads into the larger group? And I think that's something that I know we're talking about here in Austin, you know, like how do we do something like that? Because I just need to say it, and even as a Latino male or any immigrant, that we're not all our stories aren't all the same. And we need to create different pathways for our students, because the goal is to support young men of color, right? And we need to think about that really, really carefully in our work. So that's kind of been pushing me, is like, because I don't think they connect as much with, like, Nicholas, your group, you know, particularly if you're new to the country. But yet, you know, I wonder if there's like a subset of MBK, still calling it MBK, but a different kind of MBK. I don't know. You know. So I think that's something systemically I would love to hear more from how folks are going about that in some ways.
Thank you, Dr. Sanchez, for the interview. For my questions, I would say I did have other questions, but you already answered them while you were answering some of the others. So I'd like to say thank you for having this interview with us. And just if you have any final comments you would like to say, you can say them now.
Well, this is the one. If they're going to quote me, they need to quote me. I'm really proud of the work you're doing. At one point, I would love to talk to you about what this experience has been like for you, because I heard a little bit from Ms. Fine, but I would love to hear from you. And just, you know, I want to thank you for the opportunity. Actually, your questions made me think a little bit more, and that's also really important. If I don't have good answers for myself, then, you know, how can I lead the work? And, you know, I think the other part is that this is all iterative, right? This is constantly in flux. We had to change with COVID. The needs of our students change, the needs of our scholars change, and the work around MBK can't always be, and it isn't, you know, can't always be prescriptive. Like, we need to be responsive to what we see in our scholars, and how do we help support them in that way. So, well, that's it. You know, I could talk forever on MBK, to be honest.
Can I take a minute and ask you, Nicholas, what would you say is your proudest moment in MBK? I thought it was so beautiful that your superintendent obviously knows you so well and is so proud. But what would you say is the proudest experience or moment or most transformative encounter you've had through MBK?
I would say probably, I'd probably say two moments. One was probably when we had Lester Young to introduce him. And
can you speak up a little?
My internet?
It's something, but yeah, when you move up,
my bad.
You better.
I think you said something about Lester Young. Was that when he came to the dinner?
Yeah. And when I got to do the introduction for him, and then when he was able to speak for us, that was definitely one moment. And then another moment I would say was during the Mastermind series, it was for the book Mad Truth. I forgot the name of the author because he was inside the chat with us.
Alfonso Wyatt. I just spoke to him this morning with one of your colleagues. Go ahead, with TJ.
When he was inside the chat, I was able to pick his brain a little bit and ask him about one part of his book when it came to philosophy and things of that nature, and just the way he broke it down to me, like what he was thinking, and like how it was just like how your mindset is what makes is what drives you and what makes the person out of you, and just it's hard to explain for me, but I would say probably that moment and then the moment with Lester Young were probably my two biggest moments in MBK.
Fantastic. It sounds like you've been seen as a leader, and then you step into it and grow into it and become that kind of leader. And there are little kids in Austin Inc. who are looking up to Nicholas.
Sure.
Man, that's a funny thing to think about.
That's a funny thing to think about, but get used to it. I want to thank you both so much. I'm sorry for being a little late. I thank you for the care of your interview questions and the quality of your interviewing, Nicholas, and a pleasure to meet you, Superintendent Sanchez, and we will have more occasions.
All right, well, thank you guys. Good to see everybody.
So I'll send you both the tape, and then we're gonna need a little bio and a photo from you. So Nicholas, you'll take care of the consent form and the...
You need a bio from me?
Yeah, we're creating this archive, so we want the world to know, because in 2215, they might not know who you are. So they...
I'm going to write a whole bunch of books. I hope they read them.
Yeah, we'll just make them up and we'll put it on the website, and then it'll be true. Take care, everybody. Thanks so much. See you.
Take care, everybody. Bye.